The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September will help you speak God's Word with boldness and love. It's titled, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org. Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day by Dr. Ed Grimmenstein. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040.
Tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to spend the rest of today, live this Tuesday, September the 1st, going through our listener email. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. What's first, Jeff?
Well, first of all, this is going to take a little while to get used to. I'm like looking right at you. I guess you're in Studio A and I'm in Studio B, and it's kind of weird. I must say, there used to be a little more space between us instead of a window.
Yeah, well, and you used to be like sitting down. I couldn't even see you, really, because the window was too high in the old studio. So if I was sitting down, I couldn't see Jeff. I just could hear his voice.
Now, I prefer full light, but you seem to prefer some kind of low dim ambiance lava lamp light.
Well, yeah, I have it turned down. I had it turned down a little bit earlier in the program. Part of the reason for that is that there's a light here that I need to see when my mic comes on. And at this point in studio construction, it's the only light that indicates that my mic is hot. And if the lights are up completely, it's really hard to see. That's part of that is my old eyes, but part of it is the fact that the light is kind of dim. So I need to see that my mic is on. I could, if I'm standing up all the time, I can actually now see the board so I can see whether or not I'm potted on, except that Craig has put his clock in the way so I can no longer see the board to see if he's got me punched in. So I'm just trying to see if my mic is hot.
It's a work in progress.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, you learn the mic is always hot, and you learn that in the breaks, you have to assume that if you're in the room with the mic, it's broadcasting what you're saying, even if you think it's off. And there have been very few times in the course of our long broadcast history where we've actually had a hot mic and said something that shouldn't have or wasn't intended to go out over the air.
We have monitors all over this place, but I don't think not one of them's hooked up yet.
Not yet. When the monitors get hooked up, right, it will tell me that my mic is hot, and it will give me, I think it will give me a clock. I'm not sure.
All right, let's begin with Kathy. Let's just say, Kathy, not a big fan of your interview with Peter Slayton on political conversations with people on social media. Kathy writes, your perspective on social media was cowardly and duplicitous. Heidi St. John, Eric Metaxas present an opposing perspective. They say to speak up for the truth, confront evil. Even Screwtape Letters says to mock the devil. Lutherans should be bold and unafraid to ridicule if evil lies and methods silence the church. I heard the government was hiring people with your perspective. Thanks for the feedback, Kathy.
Well, to fill everybody else in, we did a conversation with Peter Slayton, who is, I think he's social media manager for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. He had written an article for last month's Lutheran Witness magazine on having political conversations online. And he basically said, just be a Christian. Remember that you're a Christian. He had three things. Remember who you are, that is a baptized child of God. Ask yourself, what am I going to say? You know, just be thoughtful. And then ask the question, who is listening? Because in social media, it's not just you and the other person unless you're private messaging back and forth with one another. So you've got a couple, or if you have a large enough following, a couple hundred, 1,000 people listening in on the conversation. There's no one-on-one conversations unless you're using those private means to do so. So those three questions, who are you, what are you going to say, and who is listening, help inform how we interact with people online, not only in political issues, which are during a political season, all the conversations immediately go up to 11. But it's kind of a way you have conversation with anybody, even if it isn't social media. And I don't see anything cowardly or duplicitous about asking, you know, who am I? I'm a Christian. What am I going to say? Is it going to comport with what God's view of the world? And three, should I be concerned about who else is listening in? Jeff often points out when he's perusing social media, you know, would you say that to that person if you were standing there face to face with them? And about 90% of the time, the answer is no. You'd find a better way of saying it, find a kinder, more understanding way of saying it than we often do on social media. All of us learn this lesson the hard way. So this notion that Christians should go out there and, because we are actually confronting falsehoods and evil in social media, just let loose without any respect to our Christian identity, whether this is the right thing to say, and without concern about who's listening in, I cannot defend that position. I had a lesson on this. I've had a lot of lessons on social media, but I had a lesson on this very early on when social media was new. And the temptation for everybody was just to kind of blow off steam and say things and be kind of provocative. And I think I said something, and it was really a very tame comment, but I made this statement, and one of my parishioners was listening in and said, "You shouldn't say that, Pastor." And she was absolutely 100% right.
Is that it?
That's it.
Profound. Lots of criticism about your interview with Terry Mattingly on media coverage of Jerry Falwell Jr. scandals in Liberty University. Let's read one from Martha. "I have a comment on episode number 2392, media coverage of Jerry Falwell scandals in Liberty University. During your conversation with Terry Mattingly, he speculated on what Falwell might do after his current scandal dies down. He stated, and I quote, 'Jerry Falwell Jr. will go on to his new life, which I presume will be doing something for the cable channel that Donald Trump will form in 2021 after he is not reelected president. In addition to being a good journalist, I did not realize Mattingly had the power to predict the outcome of presidential elections. People like Mattingly simply cannot fathom how Christians could return to office a brash, irreverent, volatile man of questionable moral character. For Christians struggling with this issue, I would point them to Samson, a man who embodied all of Trump's negative qualities and then some, but was nevertheless chosen by God before birth to begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Judges 13:5b. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Martha.
Well, there are two issues here. I don't think that Terry was attempting to predict the outcome of the election. He was simply repeating something that Donald Trump himself has said on several occasions about starting another network. He said, "We ought to start our own network and put some real news out there. We are looking into that. We should do something about it too. Put something out there with really talented people and get a real voice out there, not a voice that's fake." And then he was speaking, I think, in Florida back in October 2019, and he's tweeted about it several times. He's kind of been disillusioned with Fox News. So he recently tweeted, "Fox News is letting us down. We have to start looking for a new news outlet. Fox isn't working for us anymore." So he has been kind of trial ballooning the idea of being involved in a new network if he were not elected or after his second term. So Terry was working off of that comment. And he was, yes, speculating, but not predicting the presidential outcome. Now, probably the more substantive response to your email is, I don't think it's wise to compare Donald Trump, or any president for that matter, to Samson of the Old Testament, a judge of Israel, or any other leader in Old Testament Israel. The United States is not, and is not parallel in any way to ancient Israel. And U.S. presidents are not parallel in any way to Old Testament judges, leaders, or kings. The problem with making that parallel is it just proves too much, because you can make the same argument for returning Barack Obama to office, because there were all sorts of wicked kings in ancient Israel who were kings by heredity. There was Saul, who was chosen by God to be king, and he turned out to be an idolater. The argument that works to say, well, Israel equals America, Samson equals Donald Trump, also that same argument also works with Israel equals America, let's say Ahab equals Hillary Clinton. Jezebel equals Hillary Clinton. She was queen. You can't argue with that. Or any of the other kings that turned out to be failures or leaders that turned out to be failures. So we simply do not draw the parallel between ancient Israel and modern day America. It's not theologically sound. It's not historically sound. And doing so leads you to all kinds of conclusions. I guarantee you, you do not want to be led to. We're going through listener email. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back with more of your email.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September will help you speak God's Word with boldness and love. It's titled, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org. Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day by Dr. Ed Grimmenstein. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is, lcmschaps@lcms.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with prayer, the Our Father, fasting, where your treasure is, and no anxiety. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Postman, look and see. Oh, yeah. Back for me.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email. That address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Before we go on, I did want to make mention of something, and it's, do I have permission from the producer of the program to speak briefly about Cardinals baseball?
If you must.
Well, a couple days ago was Adam Wainwright's 39th birthday.
He's a pitcher, for those who don't follow the Cardinals.
He's still a starter for the team, and he has been kind of a workhorse for the team in a lot of ways. But 39 years old in baseball is, that's grandpa age. He's known as Uncle Charlie. Pretty soon they're going to have to start calling him Grandpa Charlie. But he also on that day pitched a complete game, which just means he finished the entire game he won. And there was a beautiful...
Are they playing 9 innings now?
The only 7 inning games that they're playing are the doubleheader games.
Okay, so this wasn't a doubleheader. This was a real 9 inning game.
A real 9 inning game. I think he went way past... He went past 120 pitches, which is amazing for any pitcher, but at his age, his arm has got to be killing him. In any event, they had a beautiful moment with him and Yadier. I just want to, we sometimes rag on Yadier Molina, who is some people believe the future Hall of Fame catcher for the Cardinals. But they had a beautiful moment because right after he completed the game, Yadi came out, they put on their masks and they kind of embraced each other and walked off together. It was very touching. And it's the kind of moment that baseball can produce. Even during COVID, that kind of makes you feel like things are getting back to normal. I wanted to say, since we rag on Yadi so much sometimes, that it actually was kind of a quintessential. The guy's in he is in the golden, what do they call it? The evening of his sunset of his career. And it's nice to see that happen, especially on his 39th birthday. 39 is not that old, but it is when you're a pitcher.
Let me set the record straight. I think Yadier Molina is an unbelievable catcher. He's without a doubt probably the best catcher in the history of St. Louis Cardinals franchise.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
It's just the over-the-top. I remember a couple of years ago I mentioned this, that the best player in baseball, the Cardinals led by the best player in baseball, Yadier Molina. There's just so much. And let me say this. You guys heard this. This is the journalist in me. I see this on getting back to social media. So what happens? What happens when your favorite team is on national TV? People don't like the announcers. Joe Buck hates the Green Bay Packers. Why, people? Do you really think Joe Buck's saying, I want to really tick off half of this viewing audience or more than half of this viewing audience so that the ratings go down and the ratings go down and I lose my job? Think about it. Do you really think he's intentionally thinking, I want to root and really irritate Dallas Cowboy fans? No. The problem is we listen to our hometown announcers most of the time.
And you're bonded to those guys.
And they're cheerleaders, okay? And it's okay.
They're being paid to be cheerleaders.
Exactly. But this is what drives me nuts about Yadier Molina. It's just, look at it outside your Cardinal propaganda bubble. That's all I'm saying. And when your favorite team gets on national television, be thankful. But don't take the social media against the announcers, because you've been brainwashed into cheerleading for the home team for most of the season. So that's this disconnect between.
Okay, so think of it in classic announcer terms. You had the original Joe Buck. What was his
Jack
thing?
Buck.
Jack Buck. It was go crazy, right?
Yeah, go crazy. Yeah, he did that in the.
That's not objective journalism. That's not just calling the game. Right. That is cheerleading with the people on the radio, and that's exactly why he was so good at it. And all the other classic guys have done it too. That's their job. Their job is to get you excited about this game, get you into the game, get you excited about the game. Just don't think that that's objective. And then by comparison, think that the ESPN guys hate our team. Well, they hate our team. No, they don't. They're just calling the game even. They're not, since they're to a national audience, they're not going to root for either one. They might get excited when there's a great play, but who wouldn't? So, okay.
Oh boy.
We've had our baseball moment. I just wanted to point out that I had, there was a tear in my eye. Okay.
Oh,
when I watched Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright on his birthday embrace on the
Kool-Aid
mound.
Kool-Aid drinker.
Yeah.
But Cardinal Kool-Aid drinker.
No, it's just
Cardinal Kool-Aid consumer.
It's just that I have a heart. That's what it is. I have a heart and a normal set of human emotions. So as cynical as I was, and I think that was actually the game where there was a game right before that where Yadi basically lost the game for them. He was on third base. He decided the umpire's call wasn't right and just stood there while they forced him out. But, you know, you got to give it to him when there was a tear in my eye.
I thought the Cardinals only made base running blunders under their previous manager, Mike Matheny. Are you telling me that they still make base running mistakes?
This was not just a mistake. This was a game-ending mistake. And pretty embarrassing, but...
And don't get me started, if you want to rant, on the Cardinals manager, Mike the Shill Schilt. We don't want to go there. Do we?
No, not with you. Then there might be some of that stuff going out over the air that we don't want going out over the air. And the day before Yadi made that mistake, he actually did a single-handed double play. He ran down a guy at third and then turned right and ran down the guy at second by himself.
But you forgot the 2 days before, two errors.
In a row.
Throwing errors for two consecutive days. So, but no, Yadier Molina, and he quite possibly might end up in the Hall of Fame. And I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, back to email.
Paul in Milwaukee. Just tried to call the Issues Etc. comment line twice, and it just rings. Let's deal with that one first.
Okay, we moved into our new studios. In the old studios, the comment line was literally an answering machine. Now, the new lines that we have with whatever company we have, because they're full digital lines and they come in here, do not have voicemail. So they won't take messages automatically for you. And that line is currently running through our very sophisticated board. And because it's doing that, it just rings. We can see it ringing, but there's nothing to answer it. And we're not going to take all day to answer the comment line and write down your comment or anything like that. When we get that's something we have Craig do, and he could just answer it. Yeah, he could just say, hello, this is a comment line.
True story. Our latest open theme with the Vickers families saying table prayer, Craig picked it up. Craig and I were in here, right? We picked it up. I was like, let's just pick it up. See, he was there. Picked it up. Craig recorded it. So it can be done. So I guess, is there a ringer on that phone? I don't hear anything. No, we don't know how to
use
anything flash yet. Yeah. And so I think we'd first have to figure out how to make the thing ring, right? So Craig's on, unless your eyes are glued at the light, the illumination
right.
from the incoming call. If we can get that done, then maybe by calling between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Central, Craig might be able to actually record your comment line. But don't freak out. It's not really live. Craig will clean it up and he'll make you feel comfortable.
You know, that's actually a good idea. Until we get our tech guy in here to correct the comment line, if you want to call between what?
Yeah, let's just say 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
So it's... 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., the show starts. We'll try to see if someone will answer it, and then you can have this doesn't happen. You can actually have the experience of recording in our studio via your telephone and not just have us, you know, transfer the audio over. You can do it. You can have as many takes as you want as long as you don't take too many takes.
But more importantly, the experience of getting to talk to one Lord Craig Feichtinger. Personally, he will personally answer your phone call and record your comment.
He'll have you just like we do with the guests before they come on. He'll have you count to 10. He'll check your levels. He'll make sure everything's okay.
I like it.
And then he'll tell you when to go. And then when you're done, he'll go in and clean it all up.
But if it just rings, it's because we still haven't figured out how to make the ringer ring.
Right.
It might ring on your end. Right now, it's not ringing on
our end. Just tell our listeners, these aren't just phones. These phones are, they're called Telos V-sets. They're made to be able to work with our Telos, and it's not just a dumb phone. And so they're made not to ring because they're supposed to sit here like mine is. sitting here in a studio.
They're too smart for us phones.
Yeah, lots of buttons.
All right, Paul's second part of his email from Milwaukee. This is what he would have recorded had we had an issues, etc. listener comment line. He said, I wanted to ask you to give a layman's definition of, quote, production values, end quote. The term has been used several times on issues, etc., most recently in the program on the GOP convention. Don't recall the term being defined on the air before.
Well, we probably should have defined it because it's never good to use any kind of term, theological or non-theological, unless you give it a definition of it. You can't assume that everybody's working with the same lexicon. Production values in this line of work means the quality of the audio and all of the audio elements. And so it's something that we care very deeply about here at Issues, etc. It's why what we were just talking about, why we tell guests before they come on the air, if you make, and we're pre-recording, if you make a mistake, don't worry about it. You can start over. Craig will clean it up later. That's kind of raising our production values, and our listeners greatly appreciate the fact that we sound professional, we sound good, and we have invested a lot of time and money into the production value there. So it's the audio quality. And when we were talking with Molly Hemingway about the conventions, the online conventions, she was contrasting the production values of the Democratic convention with the Republican convention. I thought the production values of the Democratic convention were pretty good until I saw the Republican convention. I'm like, oh, wow, they've got cameras on tracks. They've got fly-ins. They're doing all kinds of things and all these different angles, and their transitions were obviously very well produced. So go back and look at some of the video of the two conventions, and you'll see that the all of the elements that go into making television were pretty seamless in the Republican convention. And by contrast, the Democratic convention looked a little clunky and a little kind of thrown together and kind of like a slightly better experience of Zoom. So if you've ever been on Zoom, you know what low production value look like. And if you've watched professionally made TV programs, you know what high production value looks like. It's not saying that, it's simply to say the expectations going into the conventions, as Molly pointed out, were much lower for the Republicans, because Republicans usually, when they have a big audience and they have all the time to do that, they just don't value doing the slick productions, and the Democrats really, really value doing a slick production, and the tables were kind of turned in this particular case. We're going through listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
I am far more concerned than what's happening at the editorial page by what's happening in news pages.
Molly Hemingway speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
In news pages, that old idea that we had for a few decades of aiming toward objectivity has just been completely thrown out the window.
And this is a generalization, but I think it bears out. And again, I mean, even 5-10 years ago, it would have sounded crazy that I'd be saying this, but I mean, I think it is the case. You have to view the explicit goal of most of the major journalistic institutions in this country as electing Democrats. And when they aren't electing Democrats, they're trying to push the Democratic Party further left.
You can watch and listen to a recording of journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway's Q&A from our 2020 Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Thanks to you, our listeners. In just 2 weeks, we've reached 60% of a $200,000 match for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can view an architect's rendering at issuesetc.org/new-studios. Please help us raise the final $75,000. You could double your gift with a special tax-deductible donation for our new studios and offices. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support of the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. We're going through listener email. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
And maybe next week, the Issues Etc. comment line.
Maybe next week.
618-223-8382. Call between 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Central
Time. And Craig Feichninger will personally record your comment.
What do you got?
Jack resides in Ponca City, Oklahoma. He said, since I've been listening to Issues Etc., one of the podcasts I have neglected is the lectionary series. I have recently started listening to them and find them quite good, much more than I expected. I had been put off because it is billed as an encore. That tells me that something happened in the past and may not be relevant today. I do not have a good suggestion, but I would ask that you think about something other than encore, just my 2 cents. Thanks for listening in Oklahoma, Jack.
Well, it always helps to have our listeners' perspective on these kind of things. We sometimes fall into kind of the rut of thinking it only in terms of how we look at the stuff that we put out. And so our thinking on marking it as an encore was to not frustrate our listeners who thinking, oh, this is a new program, get 15 minutes into it and then say, wait a minute, I've heard this one before. So we mark them encore. Of course, there are people like you who also see that encore and say, well, it must be old and therefore out of date. Now, in the case of Looking Forward to Sunday Morning, either the one-year lectionary with Pastor David Peterson or the three-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fikancher, that stuff never really gets out of date. We do those as I call them evergreen shows, where we try as much as we can not to make references to things that are going on so that they feel like they're dated. And we just stick with the propers for the Sunday, or we did stick with the propers for the Sunday, because both of those series, while those series are long over in our live recordings of them, we continue to air them because the lectionary, the one-year lectionary, is the same every year, and the three-year lectionary is the same every 3 years. And so since we have all those in the can, we thought, let's keep playing them.
Hey, quickly, define proper.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
Lectionary.
Yeah, it says, here I am not defining terms. A lectionary is simply a system of readings for Sunday morning and for other days of the week, but Sunday morning, primarily, a system of readings that consists usually of an Old Testament, an epistle, and a gospel reading. And the one-year lectionary is what it sounds like. It recycles the same readings once every year. So it's the same every year on any given Sunday. The three-year lectionary recycles it every 3 years. So it has a year A, a year B, and a year C. So you get the same readings every 3 years on any given Sunday. Now, if you've never been to a church that has a lectionary, you might say, that just sounds strange. You mean you guys actually just, the guy gets up there and reads an Old Testament reading? He reads an epistle reading? He reads a gospel? Yes. Because one of the things that pastors are commanded to do in Scripture is to attend to the public reading of Scripture. And Scripture is Old Testament and New Testament. And since the Gospels have pride of place in the Scripture, they should. They are the very words of Christ. Then we also ought to have a regular reading of the Gospel, a Gospel reading every Sunday. So a proper is let's put it this way. It's a Scripture reading, a psalm, a canticle, a entrance psalm that is proper to that Sunday. In other words, it is plugged into the theme of that Sunday that almost always is driven by the gospel reading for that Sunday. So there's no such thing as an improper, but a proper is something like the psalm that changes every Sunday to go along with the theme established in the gospel reading, the collect that changes every Sunday to go along with the theme. And those also repeat, depending on which lectionary you're using, every year or every 3 years. Now I've forgotten the question. It had to do with, why do we have encores? And that's all we're doing in these Looking Forward to Sunday Morning, is we're walking through the propers of each Sunday, Sunday by Sunday. So looking forward to Trinity 11 or something like that in the one-year lectionary, you're going to hear Pastor David Peterson very eloquently, maybe not in the order of how they occur on Sunday, but very eloquently walk through what you're going to be hearing in the gospel reading, what you're going to be hearing in those various propers.
And our family devotional life focuses on what's coming up this Sunday. And I can tell you, in the one-year lectionary, it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I can tell you it's one of my favorite hymns, Paul Gerhardt's Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me.
Yeah. So this is a way of not only preparing you to go into church on Sunday morning and having been taught a little bit about what's coming up. That's what we call it, looking forward to Sunday morning. And since these things are evergreen, I just don't know what to do with his suggestion that we don't mark them as encores, because maybe there's a greater chance that we frustrate listeners saying, oh, they got new ones. And then
We have gotten complaints from listeners saying, you should tell me that I've already heard this interview. However, I think we could make an exception, because if you attend a faithful congregation that uses the lectionary, whether it be the 1 year or the 3 year, those same propers, as you adequately define them, come up every year or every 3 years. And we don't tell people, well, don't come to the divine service for the 1 year. You don't come next year. You went through the whole lectionary. No need to come back next year. So maybe in this case, we shouldn't post them as encores. I don't know.
We'll have to make a decision. And ordinarily, what I'll do is, I'm the one who posts these things. If it's like a web extra, it's just being posted as an encore, I'll mark it as an encore. And if it's actually filling weekly program time, which sometimes
it does. Oh, don't go there. That's way too confusing for the listener.
Then I don't mark it as an encore.
Yeah, nobody will understand anything said on the latter half of that. That's inside baseball.
That's inside
issues. I don't even know if Craig understands that. Although, yeah, Craig puts them together. So Craig does understand that. But that's something to think about. That's not a bad suggestion.
And it just goes to show, no detail of your listening experience is too minor to share with us, because we're all about providing for our listeners the absolute best content that we can. And if it's one of those things like, I can't keep track of this, or you guys are confusing me, we do want to hear from you. It's, believe me, we take all of it into consideration.
Email from Sarah in Wisconsin. I really loved episode 2403. You know, some people are starting to put, more and more people are starting to put the numbers of the episodes, which is good. It's good, right, and salutary.
It's a good way to keep track. I was skeptical. I was really skeptical.
About
numbering the shows this way, but I think it's, and I can explain to you how they're numbered, but it would just confuse you. But at least we know what she's talking about.
No, quickly explain to people why.
All right. If you've ever looked at our show numbers and you say, what in the world are they doing? They don't know how to count. Our show numbers just work this way. We take the day number. That is the day of the year. So January 1st is day one, January 2nd is day two, and we just keep counting by day. We take the day number, which today is 245, and then the number that follows is the segment number. So today's, this episode right here that you're listening to is going to be number 2453, because it's the 245th day, and it's the third segment. And this was a suggestion from a listener who actually came and visited us and said, now look, I'm trying to keep track of this stuff and catalog all this. Can you start numbering it this way? And I was very skeptical, but I'm sold.
George Cook, you were right. We were wrong. Thank you. So anyways, back to Sarah's email. I really loved episode 2403, the study of the hymn, Oh Bless the House, with Pastor Denzer. I live in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and in this fallen world amidst chaos and destruction, it was such a comfort to be reminded again of how God has ordered the family and how we are called to vocations within our homes. Out of several options, I suggest part of his final thoughts beginning around 105 for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. As always, thank you for all you do, and thank you for listening in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Sarah.
Sarah, thank you very much. She not only gave us the show number, she gave us the time cue so we can go and look and see if that would be suitable for Soundbite of the Week. Anybody wants to suggest Soundbite of the Week is more than welcome to do so. Just tell us what show it's from and whereabout in the show it was or what question it was answering. And Sean Denzer did a fantastic job. It's so gratifying to see that the new director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, while different, is such an able guest like the old director of worship, the guy who...
Much, much younger.
Much, much younger than...
And eats things other than meat.
Yes. Actually eats a balanced human diet that won't put him in an early grave. But it's... Thank you very much for the suggestion. And that was really kind of a very simple hymn that he managed to pull a lot of great theological content out of.
And Pastor Denzer, unlike Pastor Whedon, does not have an IV with Starbucks flowing into his veins.
That's true, and you can tell. The levels of energy are quite different.
Emily, Minnesota. Hi, Jeff, Pastor Wilkin, and Pastor Bender. Thank you for the excellent discussion about the vocation of singleness. It was encouraging and uplifting. I appreciated that you covered the kinds of single people, since it's all too easy to forget about the divorced and widows / widowers as being single too. I am one of the 30 never married category, and sometimes discouraged by the lack of ministry for us. Like you said, I don't think it's intentional. People just don't know what to do to support us. That, or they forget that being single is a gift and they try to cure us. Would you talk about ways married people and the church can support singles without making us feel bad? Thank you, and thank you for listening in Minnesota, Emily.
That is a fantastic show suggestion. I have been very much convinced that the church needs to start focusing on these things. And part of the reason that this single, what's the church doing about single people, crept up on us is we have so many more single people than we used to. And we have so many people who are delaying marriage. They're single longer, or they're divorcing. That is very sad, but it makes them single too, or losing their spouse either early in life or late in life. I mean, think about how many single women are at the average church. And I'm not talking about the young single women. I'm talking about the old single women there. It's a lot. It's a big percentage of a lot of average congregations, widows and widowers sitting there in their golden years, and they are single. They may have been married, but right now they're single. So we need to start thinking about those people without spouses. And I think it's an excellent show suggestion. For the future, we might have Pastor Bender or somebody else come on and say, look, let's see what we can do to talk about singles. And we don't mean just young adults, and we don't mean just people who are waiting to get married. We do mean those older people and people who have sadly gone through a divorce as well. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to continue our series, The Words of Scripture, with the aforementioned Pastor Will Whedon. We were talking about light in the Old Testament. That took quite a while. We're going to talk about light in the New Testament tomorrow. And we'll discuss media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.